Hey everybody, welcome back to the Faith Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how's it going?
I'm good, Jason. Doing very well. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you.
I can see all your teeth. You look great. I'm counting your teeth. Thanks. Just such a wide smile. Just such a happy-go-lucky guy. So glad to be
Thank you.
And
it's good to be
I'll
here.
I'll tell you what, it feels, you know, like if we were in person, it feels like we would be in like a, you know, like a kind of a darkened room, sitting in, you know, big fluffy chairs, you know, with some hot chocolate, you know,
maybe cigars.
Coffee for you, cigars, absolutely coffee for you, maybe hot chocolate for me. We're just going to kind of chat and flow today, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to be like a really interesting kind of talk. We're going to share a lot. Usually we try and structure our episodes pretty tight. Make sure that we stay on topic. We get lots and lots of nuggets out there for people. This time, I don't know exactly where it's going to go. We have lots of things that we're going to cover. We're going to talk about choices. Choices you have to make in Google Ads. I'm looking forward to it. I couldn't think of anything, or anyone, rather, that I'd value their opinion as much as you.
Oh, thank you. And likewise, and back at you. This one will come out Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving Tuesday.
Yeah.
Might as well take it off at this point. We got Wednesday off. We got Friday off. We got Thursday off. Take off the Tuesday. A few years from now, we'll take off the Monday.
Yeah.
Maybe the Friday before in a few years.
It's Thanksgiving.
But yeah, I hope
week.
Everyone's enjoying their Thanksgiving week here on Monday, actually. It's the Monday. Everyone's listening to this. And then we'll continue this discussion after Thanksgiving in a week on Monday as well. Got the YouTube channel going. We've got the archive on our website, and we just continue to roll here, Chris. Episodes 338, 339 as we close out the year. And Chris, I got to say, feels good to just slow down for a week, you know, take a step back and think about Google Ads and just take a bit of a break and take a slower pace maybe through the end of the year and then hit it hard again next year. So looking forward to the season, if you will.
Yeah. Maybe for you listeners out there, you know, if you have something that you don't think would usually fit in our itinerary of shows, maybe it's something you want to hear about. I don't think we've ever thrown out any option for someone to send in show ideas, but hey, it's that time of year where, you know, we're just kind of just cruising through. Send in an idea, paidsearchpodcast.com. Let us know. What do you want to hear the great Jason chat about?
Yeah, it looks nice where you are, by the way, Chris. Earlier, I could see the whole scenery out behind you.
Mm-hmm.
A little cool now, hopefully.
It's chilly. It's look, you see, I have a long sleeve on here.
Yeah, here me too.
Long sleeve. It's chilly outside. It's very cold this morning. It's great.
I'm soaking it up after the summer. I'm just soaking it up. I just go out in the morning.
Yeah.
25 degrees. I just stand there.
25? Is it 25?
Yeah.
That's significantly
overnight,
colder.
Yeah. I just stand out there and
just
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Save it for about 6 or 8 months from now when you won't be able to cool your body down anywhere. It's going to change. It's going to change. Yeah.
Well, cool us down here, Chris. Cool us down.
Yeah. Hot. So I want to tell you guys why we're so chill. Why we have so much free time. You're saying, guys, you manage Google Ads campaigns. Why are you so chill? I'm going to tell you, we use a software that helps us stretch our abilities to their capacity. You can maximize the efficiency of your Google Ads campaigns with a tool like Optio.com/PSP. And when I mean like, I mean exactly Optio.com/PSP. This is the tool that helps me to take these super stressful campaigns and I can just sit and say, okay, turn my brain off for a minute and just say, hey, intern, hey, paid help here. Spitball some ideas at me. That's essentially what the system does. It spitballs some recommendations. It spitballs some red flags, some moderate and then green flags, some things that you know that you can be blind to for some of your accounts that you're managing. If you're managing one account that's your own account, that's your money that you're spending. No one is going to care as much about your money as you will. And the Optio system can help you be even more efficient with every dollar you're spending. If you're managing lots of accounts, you're an agency, you have lots, you can help your employees be more efficient with what they're doing in managing your Google Ads accounts. This tool is specifically for Google Ads. That's why we talk about it here, because that's all we care about. That's all that really matters to us is Google Ads management, particularly search. That's where the real power is, and that's where this tool really shines. That's Opteo, Opteo.com/PSP.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So yeah, today on this Thanksgiving week, we're going to just talk about choices that an advertiser, one must make inside of Google Ads. There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. But these are choices, and they're things that you kind of can't do at the same time. You have to make a choice. So like, for example, we'll be talking about, should you run brand ads? Should you not run brand ads? You can't really run brand ads and not run brand ads at the same time, although I can think of an idea. Manual bidding versus automated bidding. You can do both in different campaigns, but in one campaign, you have to make a choice. So these are items where, again, no wrong answer, no right answer. You just have to make a choice. And we'll kind of talk about the consequences of that, experiences we've had, wins and losses, and how we think about these decisions. So Chris, we'll start off here with choosing to advertise on brand, meaning your own keyword, or not advertising on brand. Before we get into the discussion, why don't you just lead with, like, for those who aren't acquainted, what is brand advertising on Google Ads? Is it search? Is it remarketing?
Right.
What is brand advertising?
So when we say brand, what we're referring to is basically anyone who is searching for your company name, your product name, a nickname associated with it, any particular aspect that is unique to you. So essentially, they are someone who has already purchased, somebody who's already heard of your product, someone who that, you know, the trust factor is already there. At least, you know, they have an awareness of your product. They're effectively someone who's returning. It might be the first time that they're coming to your site. So they may not technically be returning, but in some way you've already impacted them when they're searching for it. That's essentially brand. And it is a very different value than what we'll refer to on the other side of things is non-brand, you know, no brand involved in the marketing. So no brand means everything except anything to do with your product, business name, website, URL. If they don't type those things and they type something adjacent to that, you know, if you're a roofing company, they don't type good roofers because that's the name of your company. Instead, they type, you know, best roofers near me. Obviously, they're looking for a roofer and not they're not citing your business name. That's the whole conversation. We're going to start with brand or no brand. I think, Jason, there is a very good reason why this is the number one thing. And it is probably the most common mistake that I see in accounts where they don't understand the difference between allowing brand to flow into a campaign and then looking at that ROAS, looking at that return on ad spend, looking on at that cost per conversion and thinking, hey, look, I'm super profitable. And what they don't know is that they're blending these two methods of traffic together. So I think it's a great thing to bring up first.
Okay. So, you know, before you get into do you do it, do you not do it, let's start off with, you know, assuming you're going to do it, how do you do it? So you kind of previewed this earlier. You can show up on your own brand searches from sometimes phrase match, but most often broad match keywords. If you're a storage company in Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth, okay.
And yeah, Fort Worth. If you're a storage company in Fort Worth and you have keywords like storage, Fort Worth, storage, self-storage near me, maybe your brand has the word storage in it, so you could potentially show up with phrase match or it's very close to those searches. Or let's say you're running broad match and behind the scenes on your search terms, you're getting a lot of brand searches that are flowing in through non-brand broad match keywords. Chris, it sounds like that bothers you.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do brand, you say put it in its own ad group with its own keywords.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Why does it bother you so much if the traffic still performs good?
Here's why. I have a client right now. I don't think they're going to fire me, but they are very confused why they formerly had a campaign that was spending thousands and thousands of dollars, getting tons and tons of traffic, and had phenomenal returns. Then Chris comes in, determines that there's just a good layering of brand speckled in with their non-brand. So I do the right thing, pull that brand out. Guess what happens? Suddenly they get a fraction of the traffic volume that they're able to maintain within that profitable level. You know, the ROAS has to be about a 3.2 or something like that for them to be profitable. I'm getting a fraction of the spend and a fraction of the conversions, because once I pulled that brand out, they realized, oh, wow, that's, once we pull out that inflationary brand traffic that floats the entire system above what it should actually be at, we realize actually we were spending thousands and thousands that was not profitable. Because when I gut that out, they were at like a 1.4 on ROAS. They were actually losing money when I pull out that brand. That's why.
What match type of the keywords was the brand sneaking through, if you will? Was it broad match keywords?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Broad match.
So an advertiser that doesn't know much about like search terms or, you know, maybe the way broad match keywords work, they were looking at their keywords were on topic, and they were performing really good, hitting the ROAS goals. But behind the scenes, the search terms that were producing that good performance were brand search terms to a very large extent.
Yep. Absolutely.
So you didn't mess them up. You kind of showed them reality.
Right. And they're still really confused and like, you know, probably thinking it's better to live in ignorance than it is to live with the truth about what's actually happening. Because now it's kind of like, well, okay, now we're not spending the money. Now we're starting to see a drop in sales, because what was happening is they were advertising at a loss, and that was bringing up the total volume while operating at a loss. So they're looking at their books showing a drop in conversions, but in reality, if we consider how much they're spending now, the profitability of their spend, you know, they're actually more efficient, but they're getting less volume. So it is an extremely difficult situation to be in, simply because when you're artificially floating your campaign through with brand, it can make a crappy campaign look like a phenomenal campaign.
Yeah, and that's, I think, why we're in agreement that whether you want to run on brand or not is a separate conversation. But if you are going to run on brand, do it in a separate ad group, possibly a separate campaign. So it's not a question, at least at this part of the conversation, of whether you want to do brand or not. It's if you're going to do it, put it in its own ad group, maybe its own campaign with its own budget. But the benefit of doing that is because if brand is performing really well, which it sounds like it is for your client, you can continue to perform really well with brand. You can perform the exact same that you're performing with brand from broad match keywords as you can with brand keywords, because they'll come in, the same search terms will come in, bid them accordingly, and you'll get the same exact performance. But by taking it out of the other kinds of broad match keywords, you're now seeing the true performance of those broad match keywords. And it probably always is, if that performance of the straightforward broad match keywords is different than your brand performance, now you can bid that more accurately to your goals. So it's some short-term pain to kind of see some poor results from those straightforward keywords when you have brand as a negative in that ad group, but you can actually fix the situation and get good results truly from both brand, like you were, but also the straightforward broad match keywords. Is that the conversation you're having with your client, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's actually one of the most difficult situations to be in, where you come in as a professional and say, okay, I'm going to fix this. And then you reveal to them how profitable their non-brand campaign really is. And, you know, they think, well, it was better before you came, living in ignorance. You know, it's a really tough sell. But honestly, if you want to be a good business owner and be a good steward of the money that you're spending on Google, I mean, that is exactly what you should be doing. So to the question of whether you should be running brand or no brand, here's the line I draw on that. And let me know if you agree. If you have other people bidding against your name, bidding against you, even one other competitor that shows up on your name, then I think you should do a brand campaign. I think it's worth it. If you happen to have a business that has the company name in your name, the service in your name. So let's say you do, you know, your name is The Good Roofing Company, right? And that's the name of your company. You're going to get competitors showing up on your name because roofing company is in your name.
Sure.
So absolutely that company should advertise on their own brand name. I see no problem with that. And I see no problem when other people are advertising directly. If your company name is Whoop-de-woo and people are advertising on Whoop-de-woo and you know that this is not a mistake, they're particularly advertising on your company name, there's no way to like cross that path unless they meant to, then absolutely bid against those people and maintain your presence on that name.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the main way to think about it is if you like showing up number one organically and being the first option that people see when they search your brand name with yourself there organically and getting 100% of the brand traffic you're supposed to get, and no one's above your organic ever, then yeah, you could advertise, but it'll probably be the same, close to the same flow of traffic. But if there are people that show up for whatever reason between the search and your organic listing with an ad there, you're going to, by definition, get less traffic than you should from your brand. And so you can run brand ads and show up there. Now, they're very cheap because the quality scores are very high most often or usually on brand because Google recognizes, oh, this is the perfect relevance for this keyword because they're looking for this exact business. So you get very high quality scores. So therefore, your cost per clicks can be really low. So it can be cheap. That said, there's some other reasons to do it, even if you don't see a lot of ads on your name. Number one, Chris, and let me know if you think these are valid. I wrote down brand grows the brand. So there's one thing to have an organic listing there, just like everybody else. There's another thing to have a huge Google Ads ad with all the extent or many of the extensions showing, your site link showing with the descriptions and taking up all that real estate and looking very, very prominent. You can also get some different messaging across there. If you're doing a search for something and maybe you heard about it by word of mouth, you do a search, you see that huge brand ad there with the expanded site links. Why are they expanded? Why do you get to see the description? Because the quality score in the ad rank is so high. And it's kind of like you get rewarded for that. Doesn't that do something to you, Chris, even as a Google Ads or a Google search power user, if you will, like you know what's going on? Doesn't it do something to you to see like a really big listing there?
Sure. Sure. I mean, it commands, you know, it does command, you know, I trust, you know, this is who I'm looking for. And, you know, for a PPC professional, we understand what they're doing. But for a layman who doesn't know what that is, it's going to lead them straight to the right place and they're not going to get distracted on some old link or broken link or, you know, some competitor or something. So yeah, I can see it.
And another one, this is hard, probably impossible to prove. I don't know if a lot of people agree with this. I don't even know if I agree with it, but I think there is something to having a brand campaign, getting a 15, 20, 30, 35% click-through rate, maybe higher, getting a bunch of high quality score keywords, getting a lot of conversions. You can feed the automated bidding a lot more conversion data that can apply to the other campaigns. You can get possibly, we don't know, but possibly some kind of ad rank help on your overall account. These are just theories. Do you think there's anything to that, Chris?
I'm going to leave that one in the dirt. I'm not going to touch it.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Okay. I'll pick it up. Okay. Well, we have no idea, but it's one of those things where like, if you have the budget to do it, why not do it? Because sure. We know it can't hurt and it could possibly be helping quite a bit. One more for you. This is the toughest decision when it comes to brand. You don't have extra budget. You have a $1,000 a month budget. You're missing out on over 80% just due to budget, search impression share. You're trying to make the most of that $1,000 budget for someone that's new to Google Ads. You could spend it all on search. You could get nice new, haven't heard about the business yet, conversions from search. What do you do in that situation? Do you let brand in there to kind of do all the good things we just talked about? Or do you make the most of that very limited budget and spend it all on the search for the new leads. How do you feel about that?
I don't feel that.
Or is it specific situation by situation?
I don't feel that PPC has a place apart from generating new sales. I don't think that if
that's the highest and best use, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, if you have a dollar to spend, that dollar should go towards getting someone new to buy from you. I mean, I feel like there's, if the client really understood everything that I understand and they knew what their dollar was going to, I think that they would prefer that last dollar to go to trying to get that last sale. You know, I think it just makes more sense. Very rarely is a returning customer going to be worth more than a new customer. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. For a situation where you have a very, very limited budget, you know, I can see it both ways. I would, it's definitely something, you know, talk to the advertiser, see how they see how important brand is to them. At the end of the day, though, do a good job at your service and you're going to get more word of mouth and you're going to get more people looking up your brand online and you'll get the organic traffic. These leads that Chris and I can get you from people who are searching the perfect search term for the exact service you offer, who would have never, ever come across your business if you weren't working with Google Ads or me or Chris and we weren't running your ads as well as we can, we're never going to get that traffic unless we actually get it with Google Ads search. So I definitely see how we should put a higher value on that new traffic that would have never existed without the Google Ads search campaign versus some more word of mouth brand traffic and referral traffic that they can get all sorts of ways just doing a good job at work every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's move on here. This is a very, very interesting one. Performance max or no performance max.
Yeah.
Like we're saying, there's no right answer, no wrong answer, but you have to make a decision here. That's the whole point of this episode is choices you have to make in Google Ads, decisions you have to make in Google Ads, and you have to decide whether or not you're going to run a performance max campaign here in 2022 or not. And money doesn't grow on trees, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. Just,
you're preparing. You're preparing when your kids
preparing,
keep asking for that little bit faster motorcycle. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't grow on trees. So by definition, I mean, almost every advertiser has a limited budget.
Yeah.
So you got to make a choice here. It's going to possibly take from search, depending on impression share, depending on your budget. But let's say we're in a scenario where it will. You got to take a little budget from search if you want to run on performance max. How do you make that decision these days, Chris? And do you like the way I framed it? Isn't that a pretty good
decision? Yeah. I mean, if we're going for like a deathmatch kind of thing, you know, do I let PPC?
We don't have to. We don't have to, Chris. A lot of talk about the deathmatch today before the show.
Well,
give me a hug. Bring it in. Give me. Hey, Chris, give me a virtual hug right here.
Okay.
Just do it. All right. Patting your back. Okay. All right. Unlock.
Okay. Let go. Okay. Let go of me.
A little too long.
You're the one that held too long. That wasn't me.
We both did.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, performance max or no performance max, I'm going to go. I mean, that's what we're here for, to make the hard decisions. It is definitely shiny and blinky and lots of buttons and very attractive. But I'll tell you what, if I had to either take it or leave it, and either I had the option of running performance max in all of my accounts or no performance max at all, Jason, I would say no performance max at all in any of my accounts. That's where I would take it. Wow. I'd say none. I'd leave it. I'd leave it on every single one. What do you think? Are you going to leave?
No, I'm not going to leave.
Okay.
If we have to make a hard decision and I've got to take leads from the search campaign, I'm going to do it these days. I'm going to try.
Wow.
I'm going to go for it.
It's rare that we have such a solid disagree. This is good. This is good. I want to hear it. Like, tell me why. Because I can definitely tell you why. I'm cautious about it, but you've probably heard it all. Tell me why you're in favor of it.
I've heard it all, why people are cautious about it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen her face. Now I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her I tried.
Okay. Isn't that Shrek?
The monkeys.
Oh.
No, I think it's the monkeys.
Shrek is
because I've seen it work. I've seen it work. And when it works, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing because you're on brand with Google in 2022. You're going with the flow of the machine. Yeah. And when you're in the flow of the machine and you're holding its hand and you get drug along with it,
right,
some really, really cool things would happen because it's a very powerful machine. Like I've always said, like back in the day when they were doing good, Facebook, they did have an advantage on Google when it came to non-search because they could know things about the user and you could get in front of those users. And that was a very powerful form of marketing in addition to search. Some things changed with that company. And at the same time, I think Google either figured out the person aspect of it or is on its way to figuring it out. And I really like the power of combining the reach of Google's kind of ecosphere online, like Gmail, Maps, Search, YouTube, and some other places, display and all that. I really like getting access to that reach in a way that's very targeted and in getting in front of the right people. And there's been a lot of talk about this over the years, the moments or whatever they used to phrase it as, getting in front of the right person at the right time, building that chain, if you will, or that flow to the final conversion. But it hadn't really been there in the past. With Performance Max, sometimes now, I've seen it there. It's super powerful, and I'm in a have-to-try-it mindset now. Like, I have to try it. So if someone just wants to run on search, that's fine. We can make the most of that budget for sure. But I really like the reach that Performance Max can offer. And then when it performs well, it's like, it's a pretty cool thing. But there's a lot of steps along the way. You have to get all your settings right. And you have to be patient. You have to give it some real time here. I say at least 4 weeks, more preferably 8 weeks. And you have to have a budget that you can do that with. But I'm in the mindset, Chris, you can always walk it back. You know, you can always turn it off and go back just to search. I've seen some great things, but I've talked to a lot of advertisers out there. And some people are still, they just maybe haven't given that time or they're not really into it. But I'm into it. I'm into the overall marketing aspect of things, yeah, not just search.
So your argument is you don't know what you're missing out on. You're attracted to the potential. You're attracted to the potential of what it can do and what it has done.
Exactly. I've just seen situations where we've been able to grow conversion volume and then we've been able to get the same kinds of conversions, the same exact conversion action at a lot cheaper cost.
Yeah.
And I've been a big fan of remarketing for a long time. And even though not everything can show up in the numbers, I do love the idea of hitting people all the time with your videos, your impressions, your display ads, in addition to search. So it's a preference thing, but I've seen it work well. And once you kind of seen it work well, it's hard to kind of imagine, honestly, kind of hard to imagine Google Ads without it these days. But it's the times where it's worked really well. So I'm a fan, and you can always walk it back. But Chris, it definitely takes the right mindset. It takes the right advertiser. Mm. You get some clients, some advertisers that are just, no, we need to make the phone ring today. We need leads today. And they're not really into exploring for new leads out there. I also think brand is a big aspect of it. Like if someone's not that interested in building a brand, they're more just hardcore lead generation, then, you know, search makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a decision you got to make though.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's fine. We can still keep the podcast. We can still disagree on this.
Good.
It's
good.
It's the Performance Max death match, and you'll take yours, I'll take mine, and we'll disagree, and that's fine. I'm okay with it.
It's not a death match. It's a dance party, okay. And I want to hug you a little bit more. I want to dance with you. I want people to look at us and go, are they hugging or are they dancing? We're not really sure, but a slow song came on. We're going to take a music break, a little dance break. We'll be back right after the break to kind of talk about the opposite of Performance Max. We're going to talk about exact match keywords, and we'll do that right after this break.
Welcome back. We're about to jump into a new discussion about Exact or no Exact, but before I do, I want to tell you about Optio.com/PSP. You've heard me say it many times. It is still my favorite online software, period, to helping me manage my Google Ads accounts. As I mentioned before, now is the time to jump in. This is an opportunity for you to take advantage of some amazing tools that they're going to be releasing at the same price point. Get in now because you'll still be on that amazing 2-month free trial, that 8-week free trial you're going to get to take advantage of, and you'll get to use these new features that are coming out for the same amazing price as free, as $0. It's an amazing tool. I can't tell you. I talk to a lot of listeners and they tell me, oh yeah, by the way, thanks for telling me about Optio. You know, I didn't listen for a little while, but I kept hearing about it on the show. You're really right. It is great. It's just another tool in their tool belt. They love it. It's worth it. Optio.com/PSP.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. So let's talk about exact match keywords or not using exact match keywords. It's a choice you have to make. You're either running them or not somewhere in your campaigns or your account. Is this a choice that people even have to make? Are people not running exact match keywords? What is your thoughts on the state of exact match keywords these days?
Yeah. I don't think we've actually talked about this, but I think exact match keywords, for reasons that I can give and back up my thoughts here, I think they are more important than ever nowadays. I think exact match keywords are critically important, especially if you are utilizing, you know, things like Performance Max and, some other tactics that we might talk about later, like, you know, broad keywords and things like that. I think they're critically important. Absolutely something that you should have in your campaigns.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's funny to even be discussing exact match keywords, but I overdosed on Performance Max a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I went overboard and I thought it was just all Performance Max all the time.
Yeah.
But then I had some situations where I had to come back to reality. And like back in the day, we would never say like, you know, exact match is super important. You have to run it. You have to be kind of really pushing your bids on that, because it was like, or you could run exact, you could run phrase. You're going to get pretty much the same traffic. But since they've updated phrase match and took out broad match modified, which I'm with you, Chris. I miss broad match modified.
Still hurts.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, beautiful thing. I'll just throw this out there for you. Maybe long phrase, we can start calling it long phrase, is the new broad match modified, where you just feed a bunch of words into the phrase and force it to show you on that kind of exact meaning in different searches, different ways you can put the wording around. So maybe long phrase is something we should kind of discuss one day. But the point is, phrase match kind of got wild on us. And it's very much an industry by industry thing is what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Some industries you can have like 2-word phrase keywords, 3-word phrase keywords, and you're like totally fine and you get the traffic you would expect. Other industries, it's like rough. And the performance is a lot different on phrase match versus exact match sometimes. But it is happening sometimes now. And that has kind of refocused me on the refreshing power of exact match to show up pretty much on the exact search that you're looking for. Is that why it's top of mind for you these days?
Yeah. So my short list on reasons why you absolutely should be adding exact match is, I'll give some very specific reasons. Number one, as we just talked about Performance Max, number one, exact match is actually given priority over Performance Max campaigns. So if you're running an exact match keyword, Performance Max will not steal an exact match keyword from your search campaign.
Yeah, if I could just clarify that. If you have a keyword that matches the search query exactly, whether it's broad phrase or exact, it will give the priority to your search campaign showing a search ad instead of a Performance Max campaign showing a search ad.
Yeah.
But I think the likelihood that you're bidding a lot and have that exact phrase in there, it's probably higher, or the correlation is stronger when you're running exact match keywords because you're showing up on exact queries. You're trying to show up on a lot more often with those exact match keywords.
Yeah, well said, because you don't need 400 broad match keywords, but you could definitely use like 400 exact match keywords. So there's not a whole lot of opportunities for you to, you know, double down on a whole bunch of broad or phrase, because those can kind of get the job done in smaller numbers. But exact match, that's what the purpose of those, you know, to specify specific things. So you're exactly right. The likelihood of having that exact match in the search query is higher there for those critical terms. So I think they're very important. And then second, there's, you know, an opportunity for you to actually get exactly the traffic that you want with very little deviation. That close variant type of matching is minimalized. Is that minimized? There we go. Minimized when it comes to exact match.
It's still there, but still there. If you use some longer keyword phrases, 3-4 words, and it doesn't take a lot of negative keywords once you start seeing those search terms rolling in to kind of block the stuff that you would show up on that you don't want to.
Yeah. Yep. It's
old school.
I want to clarify. When I say exact match, that does not mean, and tell me if this is true for you, that does not mean I start my accounts with like 50 exact match keywords. I still start with maybe some broad, maybe some phrase, and maybe a few exact match, but I don't, it's not like I assume I know what my exact match keyword should be from the beginning. This is a optimization ongoing process where I add more exact match keywords based on my search terms. So I want to clarify.
I think that's a good point. I've definitely gotten to the point with some industries where after I see a lot of the data from broad, from phrase, combined with the performance from exact, I go, you know what? We have a limited by budget situation. I'm just going to run all on exact match. And it ends up being that, but you don't really know what those queries you need to show up on that are going to convert at 15%, 25%, 35% from just regular non-brand searches. It can happen. That can happen with exact match keywords. And then you figure out what search queries you need to run as exact match when you get the search term data, search query data, search term data from a lot of phrase and broad as well early on. Cause there is a price to pay, Chris, with exact. It's kind of like a diagram or a chart, if you will. The more your campaign runs to exact match, the more volume of clicks that go to exact match, the higher your quality is going to be, but the lower your volume potential is. And is it pretty much, there's no way around it, right?
Yeah. I think we could definitely like have some kind of graph. If we had a big expensive budget, we could have like some kind of LED screen where we're pointing to some kind of graph where it comes, you know, quality's going up, but volume's going down. There's some kind of inverse relationship there, but you're exactly right. And for some things, some aspects of your Google Ads campaign, that's exactly what you need. You need to specify exactly on quality and not go after volume.
So what's the mistake that people can make here? Is it running too much exact too quickly, or never even considering getting to a point where you prune your search terms to show more and more exact? Like, what are the mistakes you think people can make here with exact match keywords?
The biggest mistake, I think, is that's a good question. I think probably the most common thing I see is people that start with exact match and think that because we talk it up, there's a shortcut, you know, they can say, well, if exact match is the best, I'm going to start with that. And they never explore outside of that. You know, they think, you know, I'm only going to spend this. They're, you know, super tight on their targeting. I think that's more common than someone who's hurting themselves by not having any exact match. I think broad and phrase can still do a good job with no exact match, but I think that campaigns can be hurt more if you only limit yourself to exact match and never venture outside of it. I think that's a more detrimental position to be in.
Yeah, I think so, because you'll never know what you don't know.
Yep.
And you'll never see all those queries out there that might, those search terms that, I don't know why I'm calling them queries today, old school.
Sure, yeah.
Old school mindset with exact match. But you're right, if you run too much exact match early on or exclusively, you'll never find those other search terms that convert at an even higher rate, and you'll kind of not know what you're missing. What I miss every week after we hang up here, Chris, is you. And I'm going to keep on missing you, because we're going to take a 1 week break. We're going to go our separate ways. We're going to have our turkey.
Okay.
And then we'll be back next week to continue this discussion.
Let's keep it up
here on the Paid Search Podcast.
It's been fun. I'll be here.
Okay, have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
And I'll see you then.